Papa and I are going to record, so y'all go ahead and shut the door.
Ah, the spider.
Ew.
Get a shoe or something. I'll squish it.
Ah, it's going to bite me.
Welcome to Vintage Answers. This week, we have advice on how to handle the sensitive child. Here are Mike and Debbie.
Deb, what's our first letter say here?
Okay, this comes from our website. It says, hi, I've been getting your newsletter for about 8 months now, and I appreciate your book to train up a child. Our oldest child is 2.5 years old and has always been very compliant and obedient. But rather, she will just cry if she doesn't get her way. This infuriates my husband, and he tells her, sometimes in a harsh tone, stop your crying. And I always tell him, no, you can't make her stop crying because she'll just cry more then. We can control where she cries. So I've always suggested that we just send her to her room until she can get a handle on things. She is really, really sensitive and gets her feelings hurt so easily. Then I read in your April issue about an incident where you were training a 2-year-old and swatted her until she quit crying. Now, I'm just trying to picture how this would go with our daughter, and I am not getting pretty pictures. I really do value your advice, and I guess I'm wanting some reassurance that this is the right thing to do. Will I be swatting her every time she cries? And if so, that seems like I'm just telling her she can't ever be upset. I don't want her to learn she can manipulate with tears. But what's wrong with sending her to a room until she has a happy face? Please write back if you can.
Okay, it's interesting how a letter like that reveals so much in key words. For instance, she says, her version of a fit. So this mother interprets what's going on here as a fit, as a demanding, angry spell. And then she says that her husband becomes angry. Now, why is the husband angry? He's angry because he feels like something is going on there that's not just or not right or not correct, and he's frustrated in his inability to do anything about it, to stop it. And then she says, I tell him no. That is, she tells her husband no. Now, I'm just wondering if she ever told her husband that in the presence of the child, because if she did, then what you have there is a divided authority in the mind of the child. How would that set, Deb, with a little girl?
Well, I can tell you how it would set with a husband. I'm married to one. Anytime a woman takes authority over her husband, he's going to be even more frustrated, especially when he knows something's wrong with the way the child's acting and he feels like that the child needs to be dealt with. And the very fact that the mother and the father have split ideas about this thing, that takes the authority away from the daddy and gives it to the mother, and the little girl looks up and realizes really there's no authority at all. The mother thinks she has the authority over the child, but the child keeps screaming, so the child's the one that's got the authority.
The child, you said you didn't want to teach her that she could manipulate with her crying. Well, you've already done that. In other words, she's already learned that she can manipulate and control her parents with her crying. And whenever daddy tells her no and tries to stop her from crying, and mother says, no, you can't stop her from crying, all we can do is control where she cries, then the little girl is already in control. She's already leading both mama and daddy. And, you know, all it takes is a shrug from mother. All it takes is a pitiful look on mother's face or a distressed look. And the little girl can look up and see mother in distress and see mother upset and see that there's a division of authority there. And that gives her further impetus to continue to cry, continue to whine, continue to demand, to not be silent. That gives her a cue that daddy's in the wrong, that little girl's in the right, and it's okay to throw a fit and demand my way. So that's a real problem for there to be a divided authority. And then she said she cannot control her crying, but she can control where she cries. That's not control at all. That's an admission of defeat. That's a statement, we failed. That's a statement to the little girl, you deal with your own problem. We can't deal with it. And so she said that she's very sensitive. Now, that makes me wonder if maybe this mother's not sensitive and possibly the little girl is employing a technique that the mother has employed to deal with frustrations and deal with disappointments. Now, when a child is sensitive, what are you saying? What are you saying when the child is sensitive? Are you saying that she is especially moved by beauty? Are you saying that she enjoys the company of other people and that she has compassion toward them when they're in need? Is that what you're saying? Or when you say she's sensitive, are you saying that she demands her rights, and when she doesn't get her rights, then she throws a fit? That's not sensitive. You said she gets her feelings hurt. Now, when anyone gets their feelings hurt, what's happening? Well, it's a statement that I had a feeling I was going to get my way. I had a feeling that I was going to do something that I'm thwarted from doing, and so I'm upset. I'm angry at the people who are controlling me. I'm angry at the rules that don't allow me free expression. I'm frustrated and I'm hurt because I'm not allowed to get my way. That's not a good thing. That's not a character trait, a personality trait. That's a character trait. Okay, then she said that she feels like she would be swatting her indefinitely. Now, I would encourage you, don't pursue a course here blindly. In other words, because you read an article by us or someone else that said that in a particular situation, a child was swatted and told to stop crying, and the caretaker continued that action until the child stopped. You've got to know your child. You've got to know yourself, and you've got to be clear on what you're doing. If you're not certain, if you have a lack of faith in what you're doing, don't by blind faith begin a procedure that you don't understand where it's going to go, and you don't understand your limitations or the child's limitations. I know there are many children who've been so trained to whine and cry that if all of a sudden out of the blue the mother were to decide, okay, I'm going to spank this child until she quit crying, she would not quit crying until she was exhausted, until she was emotionally spent and physically did not have the energy to continue to cry. She might continue that for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours or longer until she finally fell out in exhaustion. And there would be no profit in that. That would not be a good thing to do. So there's going to be more involved here in training this child than just throwing all the burden onto one situation and saying, okay, I'm going to spank her until she stops crying. What you want to do is communicate to the child a message of authority. You've got to have authority. She's got to see that you're an authority. And so it's going to take more experiences than just one, possibly. So now, some children who are already trained, who already understand what to expect, you can bring that kind of pressure to bear and know that in two or three swattings, they're going to be silent, and they're going to be happy, and they're going to cheer up. But you may have to approach it more slowly than that. And then you said, can't she ever be upset? You said you didn't want to train her to learn to get her way through throwing fits, but can't she ever be upset? Why should she? Why should any human being ever be upset because they're not allowed to break the rule of law? Why should anyone have a time of emotional withdrawal when they're disappointed over having to do what they ought to do? It's never right. Now, I realize that adults sometimes will have a time of solitude when they want to draw away to themselves or when they want to be quiet, or someone may be emotionally disturbed and want to withdraw and cry quietly. Even an adult may do that. But that's a sign of something going awry. That's not a sign of good health or of dealing with reality in a proper way. So, no, I would not give the child the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, we're going to let her have these periods of being upset. What you're doing is you're allowing a period of rebellion to incubate. You're allowing that child to seethe and stew in that state of resistance and rebellion, and it can create a self-despising in her when she withdraws. It creates a time when she broods over how she's mistreated, and that can just grow with it.
Well, that wraps up this week's archives. We hope you found it as encouraging as we did. Don't forget to check out the specials at Cane Creek Corner.